Hello and welcome to the Watch Your Mouth podcast, the podcast about phrase etymology and why we say the things we say. I'm Milo.
And I'm Dave.
He's my dad.
And she is my daughter.
That's how that works.
Yes, it is. So, Milo, I have a special phrase for us today, and we talk a little bit about it as we do sometimes as to what we're working on, and I mentioned the phrase I was going to do today, and you told me you did not know what it means.
I did not. I believe you brought it up during our Easter celebration, and the older people in the room had heard of it, and the younger people in the room had not heard of it.
Exactly. And so what I did is I did a little bit of an experiment, and I asked a few other people around your age if they were familiar with the phrase, and to a person, none of them had heard of it before.
Gotcha. The hard-hitting journalism you get here on the Watch Your Mouth pod.
You can find it nowhere else at this level. It is extraordinary and exemplary and should be modeled by all news agencies. Okay, today's phrase is stool pigeon.
Yes.
And you remember that?
I remember the poopy bird, yes.
You remember the poopy bird? Good. That's because I was going to tell you what it meant when I brought it up, and then you said, no, don't tell me. I want to find out on the actual episode. So let me ask you, did you look it up?
No, because I immediately forgot the words that you said. But then when you said it again just now, I was like, oh yeah, you did say that.
Yes, it's kind of reminiscent of your childhood, isn't it? That I say. It's fine.
Just have a 2-second memory. It's because you dropped me off the balcony that one time.
I didn't drop you. I was holding you by one ankle. I did not drop you. I had a firm grip. And you were just fine.
My dad was very fond of dangling us children off of balconies and high places.
That's not true. I did it just to you that one time. Just, I don't know why. I didn't realize it would traumatize you for so long. And for that, I apologize. So a moment of healing here on the Watch Your Mouth podcast, listeners. When you hear stool pigeon, what would you guess? What do you think it means?
Well, if we're putting aside the poopy bird guess, it sounds kind of military to me. I don't know why. Maybe because, like, pigeon, there's, like, a homing pigeon. I'm not sure. Or clay pigeons. Like, they shoot at clay pigeons. Maybe that's what I'm thinking about. But, yeah, that would be my only guess, is something militaristic.
Okay. Sort of. I mean, you're kind of in the neighborhood.
Ooh. Better than I thought.
A stool pigeon, the dictionary definition is a person acting as a decoy or informer, usually reporting to the authorities.
Oh.
Like, especially, it's interesting because one of the directions I thought about going with this episode was looking up famous stool pigeons in history, and it led me to a list of mob informers. And so they would go to the FBI and cut deals with them. And those guys would be referred to as stool pigeons.
Interesting. So like plainclothes police officers, kind of?
No, these are guys within. These aren't police officers at all. They're people. They're actually gang members.
Okay.
They're criminals that have cut a deal with the cops.
Gotcha.
To get off with a lighter sentence or something like that.
Interesting.
So they're an informant. And so I don't know. I heard this phrase, like we do. We're out in the world living life, and all of a sudden we hear a phrase, and because we do this podcast, we go, oh, that's kind of weird. Why do we say that? And so stool pigeon was one of those words, one of those phrases. I'm like, huh, I'm going to look that up and hope there was enough for an episode there. And so I feel like there was. So, here we are. We're going to talk about a stool pigeon and a few other
things. Yeah, I would love to know the etymology of that as well, because that does not... That's not an A to B.
No, it's a bit murky. And I think we have a pretty good idea where this one comes from. As our listeners know, sometimes we don't know exactly. We have a couple theories, but I think we have a good idea with this one. So,
okay.
I looked it up, and on the online etymology dictionary, we're going to get a little into the word nerd thing for those of people who do like etymology. This is one of those episodes for you. So, in 1859, a stool pigeon was known as a police informer. In American English, it was one who betrays the unwary, or is used to betray them. I like that. Okay. Betrays the unwary? That sounds
Shakespearean almost.
Yeah, I like that. And we go back to 1821. And this is where it starts to get a little bit murky because there's some uncertainty on if this is true or not. They say it was originally a decoy bird that was said to be from decoys being fastened to stools to lure other pigeons.
Sure, okay. So pigeon are friendly folk. They, you know, congregate around each other.
Right, and we're gonna touch on that in just a minute. We're going to take a little bit of a detour here because one of the things that's interesting is they think maybe that the word stool came to be of a corruption of the word stall, because around 1500, The word stall meant decoy bird.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's pretty on the nose then.
So stall to stool, maybe. And it was especially, apparently around 1500, was especially a pigeon used to entice a hawk into the net.
Hmm.
The problem is with that is this is a phrase that, you know, again, stall is a word being used in the 1500s for a decoy bird. Stool pigeon doesn't come until the 1800s. So is that somehow connected? And then if so, then why did this disappear for such a long period of time? Which is a valid question. I'm glad you asked a question. We're going to take a look at the word stall, S-T-A-L-L. We're going to go into a little bit of etymology with that because that's kind of where this is taking us.
Yeah, I'm interested because I think that has a lot of different meanings, right?
Yeah, and I, some of it I didn't know either. So this might, I'm not going to get real in-depth here, but it's going to get a little in-depth, again, more into the etymology part of it. So stall is a pretense or evasive story to avoid doing something. Back in 1812, apparently it was a thief's assistant. In the 1590s, that would be called a staller. And that was from a variant of stale or estal, which is a French word, E-S-T-A-L-E. And I may be saying that incorrectly, so don't get angry if we mispronounce words sometimes. Just cut us a break, man. It's okay.
A horde of angry Frenchmen at your heels.
Well, that's common. That happens all the time. I usually have a horde of French, angry French people. Usually my wife at the front of that line because I make fun of the French because I don't know why, but it amuses me to see her enraged. It's amazing that I'm divorced. I don't know how that happened.
And only the one time.
But I think the second one, this one's going to stick. The estal was a French word of a bird used as a decoy to lure other birds. From the Anglo-French, that's what I said, Anglo-French estal, decoy pigeon used to lure a hawk, literally stands still. And that word, estal, is from the Old French, without the E, E-S-T-A-L, without the E at the end, which meant place, stand, or stall, or a position. So you see where that's happening there?
Yes.
It goes kind of like from a place, a stall you would go visit, to then not moving, and you can... See, I think that's kind of interesting to see the progression of how the meaning took on subtle changes to mean something else.
Yeah, I had never heard, like, the connective tissue between, like, the verb version and the... noun version.
Yeah, and if you go...
comes from the same roots.
If you go into the... It actually goes into the Germanic, and then it goes to S-T-E-A-L-L, and then you're starting to get into some Germanic and Old English, which actually meant to decoy reindeer, or the German Stellvogel, decoy bird.
Wait, can you spell that word again?
Stellvogel?
No, the first one you spelled.
S-T-A-L-E.
Okay. Interesting. Because it also kind of sounds like still.
It does, doesn't it?
I was thinking about, there was a German song I sang in choir in middle school that was Stiel, which was still. So I wonder if there's connections between that and stall as well, because that's also very close.
Definitely. In that old German, the Stellvogel, decoy bird, also had a figurative sense of deception or a means of allurement. And that was recorded in the 1520s. So it's really curious to me that there's this sense of deception and the stall part of it kind of being, you know, stalling someone, you know, which is a common thing. You know, if you're trying to commit a crime, I believe, and I could be wrong in this, but like in pickpockets, there is a person who will catch the person's attention. And I think that's called the stall, but I could be wrong on that. Yeah. So, and all that really is, I that was a lot of buildup for a sentence I found. And I just really wanted to read this because I think it's a wonderful sentence. And I hope you're ready for it.
I am ready. Hit me.
The stallers up are gratified with such a part of the gains acquired as the liberality of the knuckling gentleman may prompt on them to bestow. I don't know what that means.
I didn't parse a single word of that.
I'm going to say it again.
Okay. Give it, put a little English on it.
What, you want like a Cockney or you want more like a regular?
Yeah, go for some Cockney. Let's go.
All right. And this is from J.H. Vaux, V-A-U-X, Vaux, Vaux, I don't know. Flash Dictionary 1812. All right. I'm so sorry, listeners. Please don't turn this off. Because I got to work into it a second. But the Cockney accent. The stallers up are gratified with such part of the gains acquired as the liberality of knuckling gentlemen may prompt them to bestow. What do you think?
Excellent chimney sweep type accent there. Dick, really doing Dick Van Dyke, you know, justice.
Dick Van Dyke would be proud. Hold on, I just got a text. He just said, nice job, Dave. Even worse than mine. Wow.
He's 98 years old. He doesn't know how to text.
He's a dick. Van Dyke. Sorry.
He's a Dick Van Dyke.
He is. All right. So anyway, it's a great sentence. So yeah, so it appears that stool pigeon originated... one of the thoughts is that it originated from a practice hunters used to hunt pigeons, which I was referring to a couple minutes ago before I got derailed by that wonderful sentence.
I wouldn't think that you would need a lot of strategy to hunt pigeons. The ones that I've seen are incredibly dumb and all over the place.
Have you seen many pigeons?
Oh, I mean, yeah. My sister used to live in Chicago, as you know. Lots of pigeons there. There's a decent amount of pigeons here in Dallas. I see them every day when I go on a walk. Grand Rapids has a few, not as much as the bigger cities, but there's still a decent pigeon population. And they are typically big and slow and dumb. But not as dumb as New York pigeons. New York pigeons are the stupidest little floof balls you'll ever see.
Stupidest little floof balls.
That's what they called me in college.
You're going to have a stupid little floof ball? Well, that's just mean. That's not nice at all. All right. So, in order to support this idea that stool pigeons were used to hunt pigeons, and that's where the term originated with, I found a line from this book, and I really like the title of this book. And it is, History of Animals Designed for the Instruction and Amusement of Both Sexes. Not just one sex.
Okay,
no,
sure.
Both sexes are included in the history of these animals by Noah Webster.
Oh. That Webster or a different Webster?
I don't know. It just said Noah Webster. I didn't do that. I didn't do that much work. I got tired. So again, it talks about the decoy bird and hunting. The decoy would attract other birds to the kill zone inside a hunting area. And this is the original text. In this manner, the decoy or stool pigeon is made to flutter, and a flock of pigeons may be called in their flight from a great disturbance. Now, one of the other things I heard, and I didn't think this made sense, is they said that they thought some people were postulating or thinking that there was an actual stool, like someone carried a stool out into the woods and then got a live pigeon and somehow attached it to the stool, and then a bunch of hunters would be circling the stool, and this thing would be flapping and squawking, and it would, you know, attract its friends like, we will help you, brother pigeon! And then they would be shot and murdered.
Who knew they were such noble creatures that they would come to the aid of the world's worst game of musical chairs?
It is. Why isn't he moving? That's not how the game works. Fred was always a stupid pigeon. It's true. And then, you know, as I'm doing my research, I found this makes it even less fun for the pigeon and a bit more disturbing for all of us. So from the Americanisms, The English of the New World by M. Shale Devere, I may be saying that horribly wrong. So, Mr. Devere, please don't come after me with the angry Frenchman.
Very litigious.
They really are. So the definition that he has for stool pigeon in his book of Americanisms He says it means the pigeon with its eyes stitched up, fashioned on a stool which can be moved up and down by the hidden fowler.
Is this a dead pigeon, I hope?
No, it's alive. Well,
I
think it might be alive, but I don't... Like, why are they stitching his eyes up?
Content warning for animal cruelty. Sorry, y'all.
PETA, are you on this? PETA, where were you in this? I'm blaming you. So, anyway, that's where we think the term stool pigeon came from.
Okay.
An old hunting term.
Pigeon on a stool.
A pigeon on a stool. But then there was also a little bit of thought that maybe, because the word for stump kind of sounded like stall. And then so there was some, maybe it wasn't an actual stool. Maybe it was a stump they were referring to and they would attach the pigeon. Because I don't think they're going out into the woods with a stool.
I mean, you got to have some place to sit, right? They have like those deer hideaways now where you can like, you know, what are those called? Deer blinds?
I always thought that meant that the deer were blind and they couldn't see. And I always felt bad.
Well, it would be if their eyes were sewn shut.
Well, that's only the pigeons. That's not the deer. You're getting off track here, Milo.
I'm not a hunter. Despite last time I was on a plane, the man next to me explaining at long length how he's a hunter and how people hate that and how he's ostracized for it. And I was like, man, you're from the Midwest. You're not ostracized for hunting. That's silly.
I am oppressed. No, you're not, buddy.
He really wanted to tell me about that.
It's funny when you get on the airplane and the things people want to talk to you about. I met a guy who was a musician. His name was Drake Margolick, I think. And he's actually, we got talking, he's got a little career. He's got, I don't mean little to be patronizing, but Margolick, anyway. He's got some music out there, like on the Spotify and stuff.
Go check him out, listener.
Yeah, go check out Drake Margolick, or you'll find it with that. It's close
not
enough.
Not that Drake.
No, not I used to call you on my cell phone, Drake, with the awful music video. Is he playing tennis? What is that dance move, Drake? Sorry. There's another definition of the word stool that has nothing to do with stool pigeon. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's a little more bodily.
Boop.
Let's say it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Boop, boop.
We didn't say it together. That's okay.
We're on Zoom. Sorry, listener. You can't expect much from us.
Yeah, they don't. They've been listening to the podcast for a while. They expect very little. So I had to look this up just because, mainly for your sister, Molly, would enjoy this because she enjoys more fart-based jokes than poop-based jokes, but it's in the same area, so. All right, so...
Trust me, she also likes poop-based jokes. She says that to posture, poopster, as it were. But the number of poop jokes and the number of times she has told me about poops she has taken, I do not believe her.
No.
It's better than my roommate and her friends who send pictures of their poops to each other, which is not an activity I ever want to be part of. That's not a group chat that I would
okay.
like.
Okay. Listener, this is not in my notes. We are getting off on a tangent here, as you can tell. But I knew a guy who would call his wife in after an impressive, particularly noteworthy bathroom offering, leaving to the porcelain gods.
Award-winning.
And he would call, if they would call each other in and say, take a look at this one.
You know, if it's mutual, then there is something romantic about that, I guess. If it was just him doing it to her, then, like, that would maybe be weird. But, like, the fact that it's mutual makes me feel better.
It makes me feel better in the sense that I'm glad when I hurt my finger, I'm glad I didn't cut off my hand. I mean, in that sense, it's better, but it's still not good. Anyway, so I looked at a little bit of the etymology of why is poop called stool, because that seems odd. Don't you think that's a little strange?
It does seem odd. Yeah, I don't know this one. Hazard a guess, I would think, because maybe, like, you know, you sit on the stool in heavy quotation marks in order to do it. So maybe it's about, like, you know, the toilet being referred to as a stool, and then it kind of corrupted to being the poop, but I don't know. Keep going.
It's kind of ish. I'm just going to read this. I'm not going to spend much time on this because we've spent way too much time talking about poop. And that'll probably make the show the notes to promote the episode is Milo and Dave talk about poop. And that will draw the wrong type of crowd.
We had an entire episode about bathrooms. You can't get too mad about this.
No, you're right. All right, so originally used of thrones, as in a royal seat or throne, and then it declined with the adoption of chair from French. which relegated stool to small seats without arms or backs, and then to privy, early 15th century, and thence to bowel movement into the 1530s. So stool kind of, you weren't totally wrong, but it was that evolution between a seat to a throne to sitting on a toilet, which is a seat without arms or a back, which then kind of got into the toilet, which then just kind of devolved into poop, which everything does eventually.
I think I was exactly right. I want my full points on that one. That sounds like it was entirely correct.
Quarters of a point. How about that?
Rude.
Yes. Yes, that's right. So we back to stool pigeon. We first see the term being used to describe a person. So around the middle of the 19th century in, this is a great name for a newspaper, the Sheboygan Mercury.
You gotta love Sheboygan.
In August of 1851, it says, everyone fears that his confederate may prove a traitor and avoid it as a police stool pigeon and spy. So there you go. Milo and I are nodding at each other. Not helpful for you, the listener. But there it is. And then I did find this, and from the very reliable that the phrases.org/UK, you know that, mm-hmm. you know that site, we use that. They had a weak definition. They said the most likely explanation of the phrase's origin is that it was coined to describe those police informers who hung around bars on stools, no doubt, in order to pick up underworld gossip, but that the name was influenced by the earlier, but as the unnamed hunting decoys. No.
Could it be that that is kind of what it's called in the UK, is more like plainclothes police officers like that? Because that is a UK-based website.
Well, it is, but I mean, I don't think it's because these people were sitting on stools. I think and this appears to be more of an American phrase than anything else based on what I was able to tell. So anyway, okay.
Let us down, phrases.co.uk. We still love you, though.
Absolutely. And they listen regularly and religiously. They
don't. That's no, true.
They don't. okay. So now that was kind of the more heavy lifting. We got into some etymology. Now for the last 10 minutes or so of our podcast, we're going to go into some fun pigeon facts.
Love it. Yes. Bird facts. I'm all in. Let's go.
Yeah. You're going to be a little bit surprised by some of this, I think. All right, so we're going to find out a little bit more about pigeons. We talked about stools. We were neglecting the mighty pigeon, and now we are going to get into some pigeon facts. Okay.
Fly with us.
What city in the... This is not going to be hard, but what city in the world has the most pigeons? New York. And because I must torture you with quizzes every single episode that I run, how many pigeons would you estimate are in New York City?
Oh, boy. 2 million.
You doubled it. They estimate 1 million pigeons.
Well, I'll take it. I was in the neighborhood.
You were. I'll give you that full point from earlier then.
I didn't say 50, so I'm taking that as a win.
Yeah, we'll take that as a win. Now, interesting. This is kind of a follow-up question to that. Which city in the world has the highest pigeon density with an estimated 3 birds per human inhabitant?
Ooh, I love that.
Which city? It's not New York. It's a different city. Do you want a hint?
Yes, hint me.
It's not in America.
Okay, I was thinking London, but...
No, it is not London. Paris? It is in Italy.
Oh, interesting. Rome?
No, it has different canals.
Venice.
Yes. How did you get it?
Amazing. Thank you for that one hint.
Yeah, it led into it. It was kind of a rolling hint. So Venice has about 260,000 people, and they estimate there's 3 pigeons for every human living there.
You know, that's not a ton of people, actually. Like, that is obviously a lot of people, but not as many as I would have thought for Venice.
Agreed. I was kind of surprised, too.
Huh. Interesting.
You talked about New York already, and we're gonna jump back to New York a second. Pigeons are frequent. Do you know what they frequently refer to pigeons as in New York and probably other parts of the world too?
Rats with wings.
Yep, flying rats. Very good. You get a point for that. And
yay!
This is a fun one. You'll enjoy this. Another poop thing. You thought we left poop behind. Oh no, we're back.
We never will rise above it here on the Watch Your Mouth podcast.
It's not highbrow. What do you want? How many kilograms of excrement does a pigeon produce in a year?
Oh, boy.
They're small birds, so don't go crazy here.
We've talked about this before with the metric system and me. We are not friends. I'm going to say 30.
12. You're not too far off.
Well,
12 kilograms of excrement a year. How many pounds does that equal into? I don't know. Do the math yourself. Stop being lazy. You guys can do it.
We're Americans. We're bad at this.
Yeah, we are. And there's actually a code that pigeons follow that say that 73% of the 12 kilograms must be on statues. That's pigeon code.
Or on my cousin Talia's head, because one time when we were in Chicago, a pigeon pooped on her.
Good choice by the pigeon. Nice aim. Good work. Okay, now there...
Have you ever been pooped on by a bird?
I don't think so. Maybe a little tiny bit, a little, like a backsplash kind of a thing, like it, but not the full, not the full weight, like the full shot. No, did you? Have you?
Yes, I have.
Really? When did that happen?
At the beach, which is actually one of the best places to do that, because you can just go in the water and be like, gross, gross, gross.
Did you say gross, gross, gross all the way into the water?
Yes, it was nasty as hell.
Well, I'm glad you didn't enjoy it, because that would be different. That would be weird.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to find out a little more fun stuff about pigeons. They had some interesting abilities that I did not know about.
Ooh, superpowers.
Yeah, they kind of do. You mentioned, and we're going to get to one of the superpowers in a minute, you had mentioned homing pigeons a minute ago. That's a superpower for sure. I know people who have that superpower. But pigeons have been trained to recognize art forms.
What?
Yeah, I know. Pigeons are able to tell a painting of, like, Monet from Picasso, and they could distinguish pastels from watercolors.
Okay, just a quick question. Just a quick question from the gallery. Yes, please pick on me.
I see that hand.
Sir?
Yes.
Yes. Why?
I don't know. I don't even know why. Like, why did they even conduct experiments? Like, somebody sold that study to someone else and said, you know what I want to do? And they're like, absolutely, you're greenlit, go do it.
You know, I love it. I love the scientific endeavor. I'm just confused.
I know. It goes on.
No shade.
Also in the same article, it says that pigeons may even make good art critics. In a 2000, and again, the study, who gets this stuff passed? In a 2010 study, researchers took paintings done by elementary school students and had them rated bad or good by college students. The pigeons were then trained on these pictures to distinguish between the bad and good paintings. Then the birds were given paintings they had never seen before, and they picked out good and bad paintings based on what they had learned before.
Huh. I'd be interested to see what like a breakdown of the criteria of that was sussed out to be.
Yeah, I didn't, and again, for the sake of brevity and my own laziness, that's as far as I went. I didn't go any farther, but I'm sure you can find out more.
Definitely send me a link to that that study so I can put it on the Facebook page with this episode.
Yeah, because here's more. There's more coming. We're not done yet. In a 2016 study, scientists showed that pigeons can differentiate between strings of letters and actual words. Some birds had a vocabulary that should have been in quotes, but it wasn't. Some birds had a vocabulary of between 26 and 58 written English words, and though the birds couldn't actually read them, thank you, article, they could identify visual patterns and tell them apart. The birds could even identify words they hadn't seen before. I don't know.
How do they know? Okay. Well, I'm curious.
It's good, though. Just roll with it. And then a new study...
I'm learning.
You are, and you're going to learn a little more. And a new study suggests that the common pigeon can reliably distinguish between benign versus malignant tumors by looking at an MRI. And in doing so, could help searchers develop better cancer screening technologies. You should see the look on Milo's face.
How are the pigeons interacting with the tumors? Are they pecking them? Are they looking at x-rays? What's the deal here?
You know what? I'm just here to report the facts, ma'am. I don't know the research. I didn't look it up. I read an article and it was on the internet, so it's got to be true. I will send a link.
Of course. stars.
It looked legit.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look over it. I'm very curious about this. And the school for gifted pigeons that is apparently somewhere off in New York.
It's like a pigeon version of Hogwarts. That's what it is. All right, you ready? There's more.
Yes.
One more about pigeons, and then we're going to go to homing pigeons, and then we're going to end it with pigeon phrases, other phrases that use the word pigeon in it.
Fun.
A team of Navy researchers found that pigeons can be trained to save human lives at sea. They get a whole bunch of the pigeons to fly out and lift the person out of the water. No, that's not true.
No.
Seriously. Project Sea Hunt trained a number of pigeons to identify red or yellow life jackets when floating in the water. The pigeons were found to be more reliable than humans and many times quicker when it came to spotting survivors from a capsized or sinking boat.
How did they let us know that there's somebody there?
Telepathy? Telepathy? Come on.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
I don't know.
The superpowers.
I don't know. Maybe they peck at things. I don't know. Maybe they do sign language with their wings. I'm not entirely sure. Now, I promised a little bit of information about homing pigeons, and those earlier things, I think they're probably true. I think they're from legitimate studies, but I've heard of this. So homing pigeons, there's some facts. Homing pigeons are pretty darn cool. So trained domestic pigeons are able to return to the home loft if released at a location they have never visited before that may have to be 620 miles away.
That is incredible.
You just drop them off, and if they're trained, they will fly home. They'll know where to go. They'll know where home is. They don't have GPS. They don't have little smartphones. They don't have Google Maps. It's wild.
They have a little compass behind those wee beady eyes.
The wee beady eyes. This ability a pigeon has to return home from a strange location necessitates two sorts of information. The first, called map sense, is their geographic location. So they know where they are geographically, wherever they're placed. Why 620 miles? I don't know. The second, compass sense, is the bearing they need to fly from their new location in order to reach their home. Both of these senses, however, respond to a number of different cues in different situations. The most popular conception of how pigeons are able to do this is they are able to sense the Earth's magnetic field with tiny magnetic tissues in their head, which is called magnetoception. Another theory is that pigeons have compass sense, which uses the position of the sun along with an internal clock to work out direction. So,
fascinating.
In other words, we don't know how they do it. I really like the idea of tiny magnetic tissues in their head.
Yeah, that's wild.
It's just crazy. I mean, I'm sure they've done studies and experiments where they put big magnets up to the pigeons' heads and see if that messes them up. I don't know. Anyway, magneto birds. I also like the word.
It was actually originally magneto.
Magnetoception. I had not heard that word before, and I like that word.
That's a good word. I like it.
Did you know that word before?
I did not.
Okay, we're gonna finish this off with other pigeon phrases. Do you know any other phrases that use the word pigeon in it before I go into my short list?
Pretty as a pigeon.
What?
I'm just making them up now.
Well, you've heard
Christine as a pigeon pie. What?
Nope, you're just making crap up now. They're just making it up. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. have you heard of pigeonholing someone?
Oh, yes, of course.
You pigeonhole someone, you kind of, relegate them to a specific role. Yeah, exactly. There is an old-fashioned in English was to be somebody's pigeon, which was to be somebody's responsibility or business. They gave an example. Someone needs to write a report on training for the manager, but it's not my pigeon.
Interesting. Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Got it. Phrase number two, throw the cat among the pigeons.
Oh.
You could probably figure out what that means.
Sure.
Do something to cause alarm or controversy. Have you ever heard of the phrase pigeon-eyed?
No.
Guess what you think. You might be able to guess this one. You're pretty good at guessing tonight. What do you think being pigeon-eyed means?
Having wee beady eyes.
No.
Having good eyesight, I'm going to guess.
No, it actually means to be very drunk.
Oh, really? Interesting. That wouldn't have gotten that.
To a degree that one's senses have been heavily affected, which being very drunk usually does. And then my last one, and I don't know if it's my least favorite or my favorite, is milk the pigeon.
Well, I hate to break this to you, Father, but pigeons have this thing called cloaca because they're not mammals and they don't produce milk. So they don't have nipples.
As far as you know.
Never checked. Good point. I bet there's been one pigeon in history with a nipple.
The one-eyed nipple pigeon.
Yeah, you know, there's so many pigeons in this world. There's a million in New York City alone. There's that rat with an ear. There's probably a pigeon with a nipple.
I sure hope so. And I hope you find it. That'll be our quest, is to find that pigeon.
Join us on this quest, dear listeners. We're going to create an international treasure hunt across this great world of ours with potentially impossible goals.
If you can find that pigeon with the one nipple, we have a prize for you. Actually, we have nothing. That's not true. Okay, so I did not come up with the phrase milk the pigeon. What do you think it might mean?
Wild goose chase. It's an impossible task.
Yep, that's right. It's to try to do or facilitate something that is unlikely to happen or be successful.
Nifty.
Albert appears to be milking the pigeon right now in the stables. There's no way he'll convince Catherine to get back on that horse.
That is very specific, but okay.
That was the phrase they gave. I don't know.
There's a narrative going on there.
Yeah, that didn't pop around. That didn't come about in a vacuum. Okay.
I love a story that starts out with gossip. Like, have you ever read a book like that where it's like from a third person perspective, where it's just kind of like slinging some gossip?
I don't think so. Can you think of a book that's done that?
Books like that. Yeah. What's that?
Can you think of a book you've read that did that?
Yeah, there's some Lovecraft. I'm trying to think. There's I think a Jane Austen book that kind of functions like that as well. Kind of with the whole idea of like a Greek chorus too, where it's kind of like outsiders looking in and telling the story, you know, just through hearsay. That's always kind of a fun power dynamic to set up.
I like in the sentence too that they use for milking the pigeon that someone's totally narking on Albert. They're ratting Albert. Which, the very last thing I'm going to mention in this episode is, because this is kind of like a stool pigeon, is that we also use the word narc. If you're narking on somebody, do you know where that comes from? To narc on somebody.
Narcotics?
To be a narc. Yes, 100% right. That is right. The word narc is slang shorthand for narcotics agent, a federal agent or police officer who specializes in dealing with illegal drugs. And narc is sometimes also used to mean police informant, someone who secretly gives inside information to the police, informing on others who are engaging in illegal activity, which is essentially the same thing as our phrase, which is...
pigeon stool.
No. No.
Poopy bird.
Nope. That's not it. Try again.
Stool pigeon.
Yay, stool pigeon. All right, Milo.
That's a charm.
Milo, what did you learn? What stood out to you? What was something that you remember that you were like, that's pretty cool?
Today I learned a whole bunch of new phrases, which is cool. Hadn't heard most of the pigeony ones. What's that?
Are you going to use any of these new phrases?
Yeah, probably not. I probably don't have a whole lot of, you know, case to use the phrase stool pigeon, but I'll definitely throw in something about milking a pigeon to somebody this week and see how they look at me like I'm insane.
You get that a lot, though, don't you?
Oh, do I ever. I was at a bar the other day and instigated a conversation because one of my favorite questions to ask on first dates is, what would it take to drive you to cannibalism? So I got an entire group of people at a bar arguing about that. It was great.
Nicely done. I think I want to do the throw the cat among the pigeons. I'm going to try that one out.
I do like that. That's a good one. And it's pretty pretty transparent as well, so people can probably, you know, understand it right off the bat and not be too confused.
Agreed. So what did you learn? What stood out? I know you learned some phrases, but what was a fact that maybe...
I did learn some phrases. I liked kind of parsing out the parallels between stall, stool, and still, and kind of figuring out, you know, that those are all kind of connected with the same tissue in a way that I hadn't. I love it when, you know, there's all kinds of homonyms in our language that you just don't even notice a lot of the times, and then you like it suddenly clicks of like, oh, I use the same word for this thing, and like it doesn't register most of the time. So that was definitely one of those things that was a little eye-opening for me, like, oh, stool for poop is connected to stool that is, you know, the furniture, but which is connected to the stationery, which is connected to the act of holding someone's attention for nefarious means. Like, it's so cool to see the connective tissue running between our language, because everything is, you know, 6 degrees of Kevin Baconed out, and you can trace anything to anything, which I love.
I do too, which is why we do the podcast. You know, we enjoy that stuff, and I'm hoping, you know, you learned a little something today and you got to laugh a little bit with us and have some fun. And if not, oh well, you're bad. Let's laugh together, shall we, Milo?
Like the gossiping neighbors. What did you learn today, Father?
I thought the thing with pigeons being able to just tell between good art and bad art is, like, I didn't have time really. We're already at 45 minutes in this episode, and I didn't know if there would be enough here for one episode at all. But that was like, yeah, what? No, they can tell between pieces of art? That's just weird. Like,
I also want to know about the college students they hired to judge children's art. Be like, oh, this sucks. Timmy, what are you thinking?
Do not let this child near a crayon ever again.
Seems like a very harsh job to be given, but all in the name of science, listener, all in the name of science.
Draws a very specific type of person, let's just say that.
It does, which our podcast does as well, and we appreciate that it drew you in. So thank you for being here and listening with us.
It's called a segue, kids, what Milo just...
It's called a segue. So if we are your kind of people and this is your kind of podcast, please leave us a review. We would love to expand our audience, and you can be a very helpful part of that by reviewing us on your podcast platform of choice or on Apple Podcasts. You can follow us on our Facebook group, where you'll receive pictures and updates and information about this pigeon study that's a little strange. So keep an eye on there. You can thank Tony Gebhardt for our theme song. And anything else?
No, that's it. That's all we've got.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being with us all. Thanks for flying the friendly skies with us. No, that's a plane thing. What? I don't know. I was thinking about birds. I was trying to tie it into pigeons, you know.
That joke was foul.
Okay, yep. Anyway, I've been Milo.
All right, I'm Dave.
Stay curious and carry a hatchet.